Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here with you this morning. I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to speak to you deliver a few messages from God's Word this morning. And throughout the rest of this week, we have several, I know, that are visiting from other congregations and surrounding areas. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being with the group here at Lakeside. I hope you will enjoy your time here together. We are in the book of James, so go ahead and get your Bibles out and turn there, the book of James, in the New Testament. If you can find James, you'll be able to make it through this week, because we're going to spend a lot of time in James. Very rarely will we be flipping to other passages of the Bible, other books of the Bible to look at, because I want us to concentrate on the book of James this week and see what rich things God has given to us in this short little book. It is not the gospel of straw, as we talked about in our Bible class. It does have very strong and very powerful and very fundamental and foundational type principles in the book of James that we're going to be dealing with this week. We looked at chapter 1, verses 1 through 12 this morning in our Bible class, and I'd like for us to pick up in verses, we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 5, and then we're going to skip a few verses and look at some more things he says in this chapter. You ever, those of you who have children, have you ever tried to get your child's attention and you call them by name and they're not very far from you? They're like right there, and you say their name over and over and over again, but they're not responding to you. And so you get louder and louder and louder, and finally you go over and you put your hand on your shoulder and say, "Hey." They go, "Oh." Say, "Don't you hear me calling you?" They go, "Well, why aren't you listening?" There's a big difference in hearing something and listening to something. James talks about that quite a bit in the first chapter here. Big difference in hearing and listening. And there's a big difference in listening and doing. And he deals with that right here in this chapter. And I think he deals with it because he sees it as a problem. The Holy Spirit's inspired him to write this. And he sees this a problem among his brethren. Their listening skills. And I'm not talking about looking somebody directly in the eye and focusing and stamina to sit for a long time during a sermon, you know, and just endure it till the end. I'm talking about really paying attention and taking what God is saying and making it a part of our life. And that's what James deals with. Chapter 1, when we talked about the trials, we said James has given us wisdom how to live our life here. He takes Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and he expounds upon it, and he puts it in practical situations for us, everyday living situations, and he shows us how to live for Jesus Christ. And here he says in chapter 1 and in verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, see that? Chapter 1 and verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And he says to us, if you lack wisdom, if you need God's help, if you need to know how to live your life and do the right thing and benefit in the end, you've got to ask God for wisdom. Well, how does God give wisdom? I don't think James is saying here, you just simply ask God to give you wisdom, and then you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning, you're all wise. And God, you know, throughout the middle of the night, took a funnel and poured wisdom down in your ear, and it's all in your head now, and you know how to live and you know how to do everything. I don't think James is saying that. It's not some instantaneous thing. It's not some miraculous thing that James is talking about here. But he's saying, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Well, how does God give wisdom? Very quickly, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2 and in verse 6, he says, the Lord gives wisdom. We already knew that. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God gives wisdom, but here's how he gives it. He gives it from his mouth. He directs it out of his mouth. He's giving people instructions. Not some miraculous thing. He's just saying it. Well, how does God then get it to us? Also look at Proverbs chapter 9. In in verse 8, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give, he's talking to the us, give instruction to the wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. He's talking here in Proverbs about a man giving somebody God's wisdom. See that? That's what I think what James is saying here. He says, if you want wisdom from God, you've got to ask. But how is God going to give you wisdom? More than likely, it's going to come through somebody else. It's somebody else that's teaching you or giving you God's instructions. And James here is saying, if we want wisdom, we've got to ask. But we also have to be willing to receive it. He talks about the man who asks, but he doesn't ask in faith. And he's a double-minded man. To be double-minded simply means that you're torn between two opinions. You're torn between two choices, and you can't make up your mind. You want to go this way, but no, you want to go this way. You want to serve the Lord, but you know, you still want to live the old sinful lifestyle. And you want God's wisdom, but you really want your own wisdom, and you want to do things your way. A person like that is not going to receive wisdom from God. He said, you've got to ask God and you've got to be willing to accept what God says. And more than likely, it's going to come through this mediator or through a other person, somebody who's given you wisdom, perhaps through a Bible class teacher, perhaps through a parent, perhaps through a counselor at school, perhaps through your preacher or an evangelist. Some other person is going to be giving you what you're asking from God. And James is saying you have to be willing to take it. Do you really want God's wisdom? That's what he's dealing with. James chapter 1 and in verse 19. I think is where he will expound upon this a little bit. When he says, this you know, my brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, verse 21, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. You want God's wisdom? You got to ask. When somebody's telling you God's wisdom, you've got to receive it. You must be quick to hear it. I think that's what James is getting at here. How do you respond when somebody is giving you wisdom from God? Not too long ago, I was listening, overhearing more likely. I was overhearing this conversation that was taking place between a woman who has been a Christian for a very, very long time. And this man who had been a preacher for a very, very long time, he's 84 years old now. He'd preached his entire life. And she was asking him a biblical question. She was trying to prove her point to him. And every time he would begin to speak, she would interrupt him. And so he'd pause for a minute and wait for her to talk, and then he would try to explain the passage she was talking about, because she was taking this passage way out of context and she was trying to make an application that was not correct. Because I was overhearing this, I agreed with what he was saying, not simply because he was a preacher. I thought he was right. And the more he began to try to give her instructions, guess what? The angrier she got. And I kind of just walked on because I wasn't part of the conversation. I didn't want to, want to think I was eavesdropping, but I just walked on, and a little bit later, the old man came and sat down beside me, and I leaned over, kind of jokingly said, well, did you get her straightened out? And he leaned over to me very seriously and said, you know what? Some people won't listen long enough to be straightened out. I think that's what James is talking about. He's talking about Christians who will not listen to instruction and advice and wisdom that is coming from God. How do you react when you hear God's wisdom or instruction? Sometimes we become just like the person I described. We become angry. because it's not exactly what we want to hear. We become angry because it's not what I've always thought. It doesn't soothe me. It doesn't comfort me. It's telling me things that I need to change in my life. And guess what? That makes me angry for some reason. Unwilling to listen. Constantly interrupting. Constantly saying, no, I know better. I know what the Scripture says. And the person is saying, let me just explain to you what I think it means. Let me give you help. Why ask somebody if you're not going to take their advice? Not too long ago, I had somebody come to me with a problem. I don't know everything. I'm not some wise counselor. I haven't lived a long life yet. They came to me and they asked me my advice about something. I told them what I thought they ought to do. And I thought it was a very biblical point that I was making. I thought they really ought to accept it. And they were struggling with something. And months later, they came to me again with the same question. I told them the same thing. And I said, did you do that? Did you do what I said last time? No. And I'm thinking, why bother asking if you're not going to take it? And if we feel that way, you ever felt that way? You ever known somebody that asks you a lot of things and you tell them, they ask for your advice a lot and you tell them what you think, but they never take it? You ever known somebody like that? Why? Because you don't tell them what they want to hear? I know what that's like. And if I feel upset by that and I feel like, man, why even bother asking? How does God feel when we look into His Word and we want to know what we ought to do with our lives and we don't take His advice? If we feel that way, certainly God feels pretty upset about that. Why bother asking? Double-minded man. That's what James is getting at. He's talking to Christians who will not receive God's instructions anymore. We get to the point where we think we know it all. And you can't tell me anything. I've been a Christian. Oh, I've been a Christian for 30 years, 40 years. I was raised in the church, and I do this, and I can know this. And we think we have all the answers when really we need to listen. We need to hush and pay attention to what somebody is trying to tell us. That's what James is saying. Let every man be quick to hear. Slow to speak. Hush. Listen. Slow to anger. Don't get mad when you get the answers you've been asking for. Don't get upset by what's being said when you go and you ask God for help. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Look at verse 21. Therefore, I think he's setting them up for this. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Be quick to hear what I'm saying. Hush your mouth and listen. Verse 21, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. What's he saying? He's saying repent. You know what gets people upset the most? It's when you tell them they got to repent and change their lives. Why were the Old Testament prophets killed? Because they constantly were telling God's people to change their ways and turn back to God. And they didn't like it. And they got angry when they heard it. And they didn't want to hear it anymore. And they put them in prison. And then they stoned them. And then they killed them. And they did all sorts of things to them. Jesus even says, which one of the prophets did you not kill? And you wouldn't accept them. And they weren't accepting him either. Why? Because it wasn't the message they wanted to hear. Don't be angry. Don't be angry when you hear. Repent. Change your life. It's what we need to hear sometimes. And we ought to learn to accept it. And the real problem is not that we can't hear. It's not that we have deafness in our ears and we don't understand. The problem is pride here. That's what he's dealing with. He's dealing with the pride of man who thinks he knows everything and he won't hush and he won't listen to God's wisdom. And he's constantly trying to give the right answers. And James is saying, no, you need to hush. You need to listen because I think you need to repent. Anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And so our first problem that James deals with right here is a problem with listening. You just don't listen anymore is what James is saying. These people have been Christians for at least a little while. And he's saying you need to listen still. Just because you became a Christian doesn't mean you can stop listening and stop paying attention. You need this because you still need to repent of some things and you need to change your life. So our first problem is listening. How good of listeners are we? Then he deals with this next problem in verse 22. He sees this as a problem. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves or deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, is like a man who looked at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. He says the next problem he sees with his brethren, that's who this is addressed to. First one was listening. They don't listen. They don't receive it. The second problem is they hear it, but they don't do it. Man, that was a problem in the first century, apparently. You think that might be a problem with us today sometimes? We hear it, but we don't do it. That's what he's saying right here. The problem is in the execution of a thing. It is accomplishing what we know we ought to do. We're hearing the word. We're not getting angry at it. We're not getting angry at this messenger. We're receiving it in a way. We're saying amen to it. And yes, this is right. But James is saying, but then they don't do it. He said they deceive themselves. Somehow we think we've accomplished because we've heard it. And James is saying, no, it's in the doing of the thing. This man will be blessed in what he does. Knowing it and doing it are two different things. Hearing it and listening are different. Knowing it and doing it are different as well. And he gives this wonderful illustration of a man who approaches a mirror and he looks at himself in this mirror and he sees his natural face in the mirror. He's looked at himself and he sees himself clearly and he understands who he really is. There's no mask. There's no facade. There's no putting on a front. He's looked right directly at himself and he sees who he really, really is. No hypocrisy in it. And he walks away. And he forgets what kind of man he is. See, the point he's making is he sees himself and there's a problem. He sees what he looks like and it's not something good. He's seen his natural face. He's taken it all off. Taken all the facade away. And he sees who he really is. And he goes, man, it's not good. I need to fix that. And he walks away. He's looked at himself long enough and hard enough and honestly enough that he sees his own faults. You ever done that? We do that, but then we don't do anything about it. James is saying that's kind of ridiculous. Last night we were over at Carolyn and Tom's and having a meal together and eating some corn on the cob. I was chowing down on some corn on the cob. You know, you spin it and you're just as fast as you can go. Put my corn on the cob down, and Sydney says, across the table, you got some corn in your beard. Now, what if I'd have walked and said, really? And I got up, and I go over to the mirror, and I go, how about that? I do. And I come back, and I sit down at the table, leave the corn in my beard. And then this morning, I get up to come to services, and everybody in the house, when we're getting ready, says, Rush, you got corn. Got that corn in your beard. And I go, and I look in the mirror again, and I go, huh, still there. I come to services. And every person I meet and shake hands with at the front door, they walk and they look at me like, that guy's got corn in his beard. I get up here and I start preaching, I got corn in my beard. You say, that's dumb. That's ridiculous. Why would you do that? You looked at it, you saw it was there. Why didn't you wipe it away? That is ridiculous. James is saying, that's what we're like. We're like that man who's got a piece of corn cob stuck in his beard and we won't wipe it away. We know it's there. We've seen it. But yet we do nothing about it. We're like the man who looks at himself and sees who he really is and sees the sin in his life and sees the things he needs to repent of. That's what James is talking about. But then he will do nothing about it. Not only is that foolish, he says, and ridiculous, and something that is just so absurd. James says it's downright sinful. James chapter 4 and verse 17, probably a passage many of us in this room could quote. Therefore, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is what? Sin. Here it is. Not only is that foolish and ridiculous, you've asked for wisdom. Somebody's given you instruction. You've looked at yourself. You've looked deeply in God's Word. You see what it is you really need to change. And then you walk away from it. And James says, you know the right thing to do. That's sinful to do that. Why would you do that? Because we hearers of the words and not doers of the word. Hearers of the words and just not doers of the word. You ever feel like a sermon was just tailor-made for you? And the whole time the person's giving the sermon or giving the talk, you're feeling like, man, how does he know that about me? And he's looking right at me again. He knows. And boy, that's... And the whole time the sermon's being given or the talk's being given, you're saying to yourself, he's right. I need to change. I need to get it right. I need to repent. And while he's giving the sermon, while we're in services, we're being convicted by it. Why? Because we're looking at ourselves in the natural way. We're looking at ourselves in God's words and we see who we really are. We're being totally honest. No mask, no facade, no hypocrisy, no putting on a front. We're really being honest with ourselves and we see it. And we feel it. And we're convicted by it. And we say to ourselves, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make a change. We say that during the sermon. And then the invitation song is led. And then the closing prayer. And then we shake hands with our brothers and our sisters. And we go eat lunch. And we go home to our separate ways. And we do nothing about it. You ever done that? You ever heard a sermon about prayer? And said to yourself, I'm really going to tighten up on my prayer life. I really need to get closer with God. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start spending every morning, 15 minutes of every morning to God in prayer. You ever made a resolution or something like that? And because why? Because I need to and I know it's the right thing to do. But then I don't carry it out. That's what James is talking about here. You ever hear a sermon about why we need to study our Bibles more and why we need to develop good skills and be able to explain God's word to other people, and you've said to yourself, he's right. I really don't study my Bible like I ought to. I'm going to make it a point to study my Bible more often. Every day I'm going to read God's word. How long does that last? A day? A week? Sometimes we don't even start. That's what James is talking about. You ever hear, had been in a class on evangelism and how we ought to talk to our friends and our neighbors, and you say to yourself, and you look in the mirror and you say, man, I really have not been evangelistic in all my Christian life. I can't remember the last time I even invited somebody to services or spoke the name of Jesus to anybody. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make a change in my life because that's what God wants me to do. I'm going to go into all the world and I'm going to tell people. And then the first opportunity I get to tell somebody, I close my mouth and I walk on by and I don't say a word about it. That's what James is talking about. You've looked at yourself and you've said you were going to make a difference. You saw what it is you needed to change and you did nothing about it. He says that's foolish. That's ridiculous. Sinful. On anger. On forgiving somebody. And the whole time we're hearing it, we're saying, right on. Yeah, preach on. Amen. Good lesson. That's right, preacher. And they do nothing about it. James saw that as a problem in the first century. He saw it as a problem with people who were constantly hearing the message. They hear it Sunday, after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but they don't do anything with it. That's what James is saying. It was a problem then. I think it might be a problem now. Human nature has not changed. Has it? He said we deceive ourselves in this. We deceive ourselves. Because why? We feel good when we look at ourselves and we see that we need to change and we say to ourselves, I'm going to make a change, and we feel good. Yes, I'm going to make a change. We pat ourselves on the back. So you're deceiving yourself. If you don't really make the change, you've done nothing. It's just a lot of talk. A lot of talk with no action. Got to be doers of the word. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer of the word. He says, when you do this with humility. See, that's the opposite of pride, the person who asks for wisdom but won't accept it. He says, you do this with humility, not double-minded, but really determined to live for Christ, determined to do what it is that God says you need to do. Humility, you're receiving it. You're not rejecting it in anger. You're receiving it with an attitude of humility or meekness, implanting this word implanted. It becomes part of your life. You've taken this into yourself. It hasn't just gone through your ears and out the other side. You've made it a part of your life. He says, this will save your soul. Hearing the word doesn't save anybody's soul. Doing the word does. Doing it with an attitude of humility, understanding we don't have all the answers and we need God's wisdom. We put it into our life. He says, this saves our soul, being doers of the word. I can remember growing up and getting up early. I used to get up very early, earlier than I do now, because I wanted to watch cartoons before I went to school. And so I'd wake up sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning just to see what cartoons were on, because I loved watching G.I. Joe, and I think it was it Conan? Something like, no, He-Man and G.I. Joe. And I remember watching G.I. Joe because at the end of every show, there would be a short little life lesson that one of the characters would give. And I remember this one in particular where these boys were riding their bicycles up and down the road. And a tree had fallen and hit a power line. And the power line had fell in the road. And you know, it was giving off a little spark there. And the boys were riding their bicycles and popping wheelies and jumping over the broken power line. Taking turns doing this. I don't know what kid would do something like that, right? You've all done something crazy like that. But G.I. Joe comes on the scene and he stops the boys. And he explains to them how this is a high-powered voltage and one mess up, one mistake, and that electricity hits that bicycle, that metal, it's going to light you up and your hair's going to stand on end and it's just going to blow you up. It's going to be bad news. And all the while the boys are listening to this. And they're like, wow, thanks, G.I. Joe. Now we know. And he says, knowing is half the battle. See the point? Knowing God's word, hearing God's word, knowing it is only half of it. If we don't do it, it's not going to save our souls. If we don't do it after we've heard it, we're like the man who looks at himself in the mirror and walks away with something very obviously wrong and doesn't change. We're like me with a corn stuck in my beard. James says that's foolish, ridiculous, and sinful. Why would you do that? Are you doing that this morning? Have you been listening to God's word as it has been given to you? Do you look at yourself honestly, right into God's word, and can you see yourself there? And do you ever realize there's things you need to change? And are you doing something about it? Are you a doer of the word? If you're not a doer of the word, what's the point? It's pointless. If you're not a Christian this morning, it's maybe the only opportunity you have to become one. I don't know what's in your life. I don't know what's going on with you. But if there are things in your life that you know that are not right, and you've never come to the Lord, you've never been forgiven of your past sins, you can do that this morning. You can come to the Lord Jesus, confessing that you believe He's the Son of God and that He died for your sins and that He was raised up on the third day. You can be determined to change your life. You can allow somebody here to baptize you in water so that your sins can be washed away. Do you know that's the right thing for you to do? Then you need to do it. Because if you don't, it's foolish just to hear it all the time. If you're already a Christian, there's sin in your life. You know that you really need to make a change, and you've never really done it. You've said you were going to do it and said you were going to do it, but you never really have. Do it today. Don't just hear it. Don't fool yourself any longer. Do the word. If there's anybody here who needs to respond to the invitation, if there's any way we can help you at all, we're going to stand, I believe, and we're going to sing. Why don't you stand and let's do that right now. Come forward and have a seat if you need the assistance of the church here.